let's talk about the role that investors play in a Village Artist Grant system. The first thing to acknowledge is that you are already an investor in the creation and dissemination of artist grants. You pay taxes. The government does what it does with a chunk of your money. Most of it goes into the military, policing, prisons, and funding things that you are ghastly, deathly opposed to. And some of it goes to the art sector. That money is then sent out to nonprofits and arts councils and arts institutions who then set up programs for artists to apply for funding, and they decide who gets your money. So you don't even know what projects your money is funding. Your money is probably funding really shitty projects that you would never stand behind. Your money is probably funding amazing, incredible artists that would change your life in the best way possible, but you have no easy way to connect with them. In a Village Artist Grant system, we cut it out. Like, we cut out the middleman. We become direct investors of public funding. We invest in someone because we want to, because we're inspired to, and we get a direct return. Cutting out the middleman brings us back to healing from the impact that Hollywood has had on us. I was having a conversation with my friend Raven a while back, and she reminded me of something that Lauryn Hill said, and I'm paraphrasing, but Lauryn Hill was like, she said that she loves the music and she loves the people, but it's the music industry that's killing her, aka the middleman. And we don't have to look very far to see how much the music and entertainment industry fucks people up and is especially predatory toward young people. I want to be clear when I call out industries. I'm here to dismantle paradigms, not people. In other words, there's room here in the Spider-Woman network for the humanity of big Hollywood execs, billionaires, higher-ups, to also heal from the impacts and so-called successes that these industries have delivered. We actually need people with lots of money to give big during money-moving workshops. And in general, because you also have a stake in healing yourself according to your own integrity. Because if you are actually listening to your own integrity, you would have to heal from internalized white supremacy and everything else that comes with it. You would have to learn a deeper, more authentic way of being a devoted earth steward during these times. You would have to learn the meaning of a different kind of friendship and success that doesn't involve chasing shiny toys and lies that capitalism sells us. We do need you to rebalance your lineage too. That is also a process that needs to be protected. That is also the invitation. On another level, I am actually genuinely, sincerely interested, invested, and hopeful that folks who have made a way in these different arts and healing industries come into this system as collaborators. Look, I might do a lot to call out the publishing industry, Hollywood or arts industries, or the underlying exploitation of the coaching industry and wellness culture. But I do want to reach people in those industries who feel what I'm saying. People who are like, yeah, I don't like the way this works, even if I found success. This isn't right. It isn't right the way the publishing industry treats its writers. That system is broken. It was built that way, on a colonial foundation. Instead, let's come down here. Look at what we're doing here. Your skills are valuable and necessary in this larger mission of coming back home to the thriving village, including folks who have found success in other granting systems or who work for arts councils, academic or nonprofit funding bodies. Most importantly, your humanity is protected here. Let's look at the everyday independent artist. When you write a grant, you have no idea who is going to be on the jury or who is evaluating your work. And of course, we know that BIPOC, queer, trans artists, we've always had an uphill climb with these funders. And there's still so much racism in determining what's good or bad art. And we often have to do so much education on our grant applications just to be somewhat equally considered, and we don't ever get paid for that extra labor. Often we get advice to just talk to your peers when you're pitching your project on a grant. But how I would pitch my project to a room full of white academics is really different than how I would pitch to a jury full of queer, trans, racialized community storytellers. I don't know who I'm pitching to, and I actually deserve to know that. What we learn to do when we're running a business, you focus on talking to the audience that you want to build with. You learn how to market your work according to how your voice sings and shines. Thus, you attract people who really want to listen to you and that you really want to grow with. We bring in these skills when determining how we want to pitch a Village Artist Grant and who it's really for and who is going to receive the most out of this. One last thing I want to say in this section is about the concept of quote-unquote free programming. For my whole life, I've been involved with providing some sort of free programming, whether it was organizing an after-school drama club for kids in my neighborhood when I was 13, or a lot of student organizing when I got to university. Since 2010, I've been providing ongoing community arts programming in my city for queer, trans, Black, Indigenous, people of color, disabled folks, survivors. One of my first dream jobs out of university was getting paid to do radical arts history and storytelling workshops for queer youth of color in the basement of a Filipino arts collective. Getting that funding was part of a moment where people had worked really, really, really hard to get the grant at a time when it was a much bigger uphill climb. And even though, you know, the amount that I got paid was not at all equal to what I was giving or what I needed to sustain myself, it was still the best we could expect. It was still a huge win. There's one program that ran from 2011 to 2021 called Right to Dance. Two of my current best friends were a core part of creating and running that programming. Raven, who I already mentioned, and my friend Siang. We are chosen family today because of that program and everything that came out of it. We didn't know each other before this existed. We met because they offered their first program and I signed up. This was a dance, theater, storytelling performance program where queer people who have been pushed out of mainstream dance spaces could learn dance techniques from a queer and trans positive framework, from a disability justice framework. This program changed my life in 2012 when I was part of their first cohort, when I realized that I could be myself on stage. I suddenly had a home to build an art practice that actually affirms my identity. Throughout the years, I became more involved in producing burlesque and drag shows, creating theater programming, collaborating, sharing mutual mentorship with friends and peers, all stemming from this seed of Right to Dance. Thousands of people in this city went through this programming, and it changed so many people's lives. I feel emotional thinking about it, and how much love I have for this movement and everyone who was a part of it. Everyone who never thought that they could be a dancer, and now they can say they are. These stages became a really deep place of ancestral healing and ancestral awakening for me. I wouldn't have been activated into my ancestor healing journey if not for this space and these friends. But I want to say something about free public programming, because we pitched it like this. This is free, accessible dance training. This is free mentorship. Programs like this that are publicly funded by artist grants, they're not free. And I'm not speaking for anyone else's experience, but I can say from doing this work for 20 years, these artist grants are designed to cover less than the truth of what our livelihood need to survive, and they rarely match the amount of hours that we put into sustaining the work. And we were successful in getting all the grants available to us as we could have been. Not to mention there are millions of people out there who don't get the grant even when they deserve it. My point is, the free programming we provided was never free, because we paid the cost. We covered the balance. Free programming is not free unless your village is willing to hold your bottom line. I poured myself into community work, as did many others. I wasn't just hosting arts programming and mentorship. In 2013, I also officially opened my astrology business. I began by inviting people into my home to hang out on my couch with my cats and drink tea while I read their birth chart. Then my business blew up a little bit when I started doing astrology readings on YouTube and my client roster became international. By the way, I'm sorry, but I took all those astrology videos down, so you can't see them anymore. It's just too much of the old me. And I wasn't a fluffy astrologer. You may have noticed my Scorpio rising nature. I supported people through trauma and deep parts of their journey that they often did not have any other place to talk about. I inspired people to follow their spiritual gifts and their healing path when that choice wasn't as popular as it is right now. My point is, millions of people have been changed because of what I personally offered. Most of those millions don't have any idea who I am. What I did, what we did, created a ripple effect. The positive changes I made, they spread and they grew beyond what I can actually comprehend. In the days of the thriving village, that reciprocity should come back to you. After 20 years of service in a community, a balanced amount of support should return to you. But even after offering everything I did for and with the community, I don't have a community that will pour back into me when I need to rest, when I'm sick, when I'm ushering a loved one through the death portal, when I'm starting something new, when I need to invest in myself. I have a community who will buy things from me when I have something to sell, and honestly, the success of that always ebbs and flows when you're a business owner. I have people who will sign up for free programming. I maybe could get a little bit of GoFundMe money if I begged hard enough and shared private details of my most personal struggles, most of which are nobody's business. But there isn't anything in place here to hold me for all that I have held, to give back to me for all that I have given. And I know I'm not the only one in this position. The community isn't there for me for what I need, and not because people don't want to be there. Let's say, sure, some people don't want to be there for me personally for various reasons, and that's fine. But I do believe in the year of our goddess, 2025, that there are enough of us who do need and want to be there for each other for these reasons. We just need a way. We don't have an established village system to exchange money, not because we can't, and not because the money isn't there. The money is here. It just needs to be organized. It needs to be activated, inspired, and cared for like a garden. For so long, there was no way to get back the balance of what we gave into community, but now there is. We can all be investors in our own way, from our personal field of generosity. This is our chance to correct things. You get to be part of putting your hands on the power of public funding and bring that power back to where it belongs. Come back for the next voice note. I'm going to take you through a tour of my garden.